You know, isn't that a comforting thought? We'll fly away, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Nobody wants to go today, but we're glad that when the day comes, we're heading straight to glory to be with Jesus forever and ever. Thank you for coming to the Lord's house today. We're glad that you're here. Glad that anyone might be in the parking lot. Anybody that's listening later online, we hope that you're blessed as the Spirit of God speaks to you. I know I sound like I'm in a barrel somewhere. I don't know whether I'm allergic to the little doggy ever since I got back from Oklahoma. I can't hardly get her out of my lap. Or whether some kind of weed out there that has got my head stopped up. But just ignore it. We'll get along. I feel great. Got no temperature. Got no aches or pains. But just put a barrel over my head. So we're good. It's good to be in God's house. I'd rather be in God. You know, the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Great place to be. And so we're glad that you're here. If you're visiting, we want you to feel very welcoming as you come and share the Lord with us today. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the day that you've given us, for the blessings that we have. Thank you for your love, your care, your concern. And Lord, we know that every person here has their own needs, their own situations. And sometimes it's physical, it's financial, it's spiritual. Sometimes others know about it, or sometimes it's only in the hidden recesses of our own hearts. But Father, I thank you that in your discerning wisdom, you're able to know and to minister to each one of us. So Father, I pray that the eyes of our understanding might be open. We might be enlightened by your word. We might be comforted by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, your presence, welcome in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all again. And Tony, I see that you have some, were you 82, what last week? And you got some family members today, so we welcome the visitors this morning as indeed our special guests. And so, what now? Is it today? I thought it was yesterday. Oh, it's today. Well, my goodness gracious alive, let's sing happy birthday. I know we normally don't, but 82? Come on, okay. Brenda, get me a note. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tony. Happy birthday to you. And Tony, you don't look a day over 90. Hang in there, son. Claire to goodness, hang in there. No, it is so good to be here in God's house this morning. And we appreciate you all for coming so much. As we normally do, we normally start off our worship with a hymn sing, and we're going to do it again this morning. And page 227 in your book, or you can read it on the board here, as we sing praise him, all three verses. Stand together, please. Love proclaim, hail Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry?
Tomorrow?
Oh, is it tomorrow?
Yes, that's all right.
Oh, no, it's not all right, Gail. Gail, that's not all right. We're going to do happy birthday to you. Porky Pig. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Gail. Happy birthday to you. We love you, Gail. Where else could you go for such entertainment? We love you, Gail, which we truly do. God bless you. All right, let's get serious for a moment. No, that was serious. We do welcome you. Happy birthday. I have some announcements today for you. Next Sunday, call conference. We have a call conference here next Sunday, and it'll be your election of the Building and Grounds Committee. And so be here in your place for that, if you would, please. Homecoming. Homecoming is going to be done a little differently this year, and we see it in your bulletin today. We're going to go back to the original actual birthday or founded date of our church for our homecoming services. And we will begin in the morning with the pastor, our Pastor Ed, and our normal services, on September the 24th. And then that evening beginning at 5:30, we'll have our covered dish meal. And at 7 o'clock, the Singing Towers will be here for a concert. So we'll have a full day and a full day of celebration. And so we look forward to that. So you all plan to mark your calendars for the September the 24th date. I know we have in many times in August, but we will be in September this year for our celebration. All right, are there any additional announcements that I may have overlooked at all?
I want to say a thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Fancy house, and just thank y'all for being here and supporting our youth and getting them ready for that school. Michael, did you want to say anything else? So, we appreciate all of y'all, and thank you for that. And if you would pray for them, I know the Stanley County School started on the 9th. Union County starts on the 28th. And so if you'll just cover our students and a lot of going back and forth to college, so if you'll just cover them for us, please, in prayer.
You know, I have some thank yous too. From last Sunday, I had I was away on vacation, and sorry I missed the event, Kathy. But away on vacation, I want to thank Tonda and all the groups who covered for me and the pastor. And but we were down at the beach, about to burn up. It was hot, and so you just feel sorry for me. I'm back and thank God for it. But no, it was a good vacation. We enjoyed it, but it was hot, very very hot indeed. But get under an umbrella and hope for a breeze. That's what you do. So it's good to be back, and thank God for his traveling mercy that I'm back with you. All right, I have now time for our prayer time and prayer request. I have some requests already that I've been asked to share with you this morning. Mike Brewer, he suffered a stroke, Gail, and I believe that's your brother-in-law. And you want to give us an update on him?
He's got a brain tumor.
A brain tumor. Definitely on our prayer list. Absolutely, absolutely. The Brandon Thompson family, a tragic accident. A young man killed on a small motorcycle, and it's just a tragic accident indeed. Tony Smith family, another lost family member. Let's remember Pastor Ed this morning. He's traveling, he's singing and working and going to be preaching when his voice is not quite where it needs to be, but I believe God can touch that. I know he's quite able to do that. So let's pray for Pastor Ed this morning. Now, are there others that we need to mention this morning before the Lord? Yes.
Felix Ed Thompson's family. The family of Felix Ed Thompson.
Okay. James Johnson.
Yes, he's going to be going into a little different thing in the military academy for about 6 months. And he just needs special prayer.
All right. Okay, James Johnson. I got it. Others?
Yep, there's a young man named Kyle.
Kyle? Special needs, okay?
I have an unspoken letter.
Okay.
And Leonard, this is a classmate's son, Chase Atkinson. I put him on the prayer list. He just got moved into Appalachian State on Wednesday and was crossing the road and got hit by a car. And he's in ICU right now. Just to pray for him. God is working.
Chase Atkins.
Yeah, he's,
okay.
I put him on every day.
All right. Are there others? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us, Lord, to be in your house. A time that, Lord, that we can be together as our Sunday school lesson taught today in one mind, one accord, and that we can praise your name together this morning. But now, Lord, as we go forward in the service today, Lord, it's this time of prayer. And, Lord, we thank you for all the blessings, as we always do before we ever ask you for anything. But, Lord, there are petitions that we need to grant, for you to grant us today, Lord, if it be your precious will. We lift up, Lord, the following names to you, Lord, that you may touch their bodies, may fill a need within the requirements of their body. We pray now, Lord, for the Mike Brewer family, Lord, and with the stroke and the brain tumor complications, Lord, we lift him up to you. We lift up the family who will be supporting him. And, Lord, we pray for your will to be done in his life. We pray, Lord, for the Brandon Thompson family who've lost a loved one, a young loved one, Lord, whose tragic accident. We pray for that family as they're dealing with that loss and with that grief. We pray for the Tony Smith family, Lord. They've lost a loved one there too. We pray for that family. We lift up our pastor to you this morning, Lord. We pray, Lord, to give him strength this morning with his voice. We appreciate, Lord, what he does for our church and each and every Sunday. But if you ask him anything, Lord, he'll always give you the glory and will always give you the praise. Now, Lord, we ask you would touch his voice if it be your precious will. We pray for Felix Ed Thompson family, Lord, his lost loved ones too. The James Thompson's requirements, Lord, he's in the military. We pray for special needs there. We pray for Kyle and special needs that Brother Jeff has mentioned already this morning. And then Miss Tonda, Lord, and her unspoken request, Lord, you know exactly what the need is, and we pray for her and the need that she might have. And then, Lord, the Jace Atkins, we pray for him this morning. Now, Lord, as we go forward in this service today, we thank you so much for all who have a part. We thank you for the music that we have, Lord, and we also, Lord, we thank you very, very much for the sound guys who are always in their place each and every Sunday. We pray you for the support. We thank you for the piano, the organ is all each and every Sunday, we pray. But now, Lord, as we go forward, we ask you to touch Brother Ed as he brings forward the message today. And Lord, anything, whatever we may do for the rest of this service, Lord, we know and we ask your guidance. And Lord, we ask your praise. And these blessings I do ask in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I looked this morning for a praise song, I found this old song. And yeah, I could have got all kind of different music this morning. But the words of this song came to me so clearly as I was just flipping through the book, and there it was, just, and it wouldn't leave me, Pastor Ed. I know you know you get verses on your mind sometime and it just won't leave you. Well, when that happened, I know it's a song for us to sing in praise this morning. So I want you to stand and sing with me this song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. And by the way, Rita, she said, all right, she's in the nursery, but Rita, if you can hear me, it goes right along with that Sunday school lesson you taught this morning. It's a perfect fit for that. Have thine own way, Lord. Okay, ladies. Children, you are dismissed. Okay.
You know, the last phrases of that song really, really should speak to us. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see. Christ only, Christ always living in me. You know, sometimes it gets to be, well, I saw Jesus in you this morning, but this afternoon looks like the devil's got you. Now, that probably wouldn't apply to anybody here, but, you know, that's the way some folks are. And sometimes it's the devil's got them most of the day, and you see about this much Jesus at some point. But fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only and Christ always living in me. Beautiful, beautiful thought. Well, as Kathy reminded us a little bit ago, it's time to go back to school. Now, when you were a student, what kind of student were you this time of year? Were you eager to get back in class? Were you one of those students that said, oh, man, I hate this. I wish summer wasn't over. I don't want to go back to school. Or for some of you older folks, and I know who you are, but I won't call you names. You thought about it. You know, I don't want to go back to school, but it sure beats being out there in the hot sun picking cotton all day by hand. What kind of student were you? Did you apply yourself? Did you study hard? Just do enough to get by? I was the kind of student, if I didn't get 100, I went 101, 105. And I had a most frustrating year of substitute teaching right before I moved back to Oklahoma. And I did every grade from kindergarten through 12. The high school in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, had like 3,600 students. And I was a bit, at one time or other, I was in a practically every, you know, history, science, math, English. It frustrated me. I go in, there'd be there'd be notes from the teacher say, hand out these papers, tell the kids to fill them out and do some work, turn them back in, and we'll get a grade. So I'd very follow the instruction, hand them out. Say, okay, that's your assignment for the next 50 minutes. Well, about a third of the class, they're busy at it. Another third of the class. And then the other third of the class on their cell phone. And it wasn't to say they were bored with math. The same kids slept in every class. They slept all day long, except waking up long enough to move from this classroom to that classroom. And one of the last days I was there, I usually carried my lunch, and I would have, I'd sit in the room during lunch hour and eat my lunch. The bell rang, the kids left, I went to the bathroom, I came back, and there's these three nice looking girls in this room that I'm going to be using. I said, what are you girls doing here? She said, well, these were seniors, and this would probably be like mid-May. We're not going to graduate if we don't get some help. And the teacher allows us to come in here and she tutors us. I thought, I'm getting out of this room. I'm not staying in this room with these three girls. And I'm not going to be tutoring them. But I'm thinking, 2 or 3 weeks before graduation, and you got to get tutoring to graduate, you slept all year long. They just didn't really weren't in it. You know, it takes at least some education to function in society. We start learning from the time we were born. We learn to walk. We learn to talk. We learn a lot of things. But if you're going to amount to anything, you have to study. It doesn't just automatically happen. There has to be some study. And and many of you in your jobs, you became a pretty good expert at what you were doing because of what you were studying. But what about your spiritual life? What about your spiritual life? You know, some people have the idea, I'm saved, I'm baptized, I'm a member of the church. What should I learn? As long as I get to heaven, it doesn't matter what I know or what I don't know. Other people have the idea, well, I'm saved and I'll go to church and read my Bible occasionally and I'll pick up a few things along the way, but that really, how much I learn really isn't important. But honestly, is it really important to study as a Christian? Really study. What does the Bible say? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Second Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun vain, profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. The Bible says study. Not just casually scan over, but really study the word of God. You got to dig in. Making an intense study to begin to know and discern the Word of God. You know, Ted just amazes me. Sometimes we get to talking about plants, and he knows this plant. And I walk into his greenhouse, and he said, this is this, and this is this, this is. Well, I can't tell the collards and the kale from, you know, but he studied it. You want to know something about automobiles? If you talk to McCord, If he doesn't know the answer, he goes getting on the internet and he's going to find out the answer if there is an answer. I don't want Todd to work on me as a nurse if she hadn't been doing some studying. In fact, I know out in Oklahoma, I know a nurse that saved a doctor's hide. She looked at the chart and said, this patient's taking this. The doctor just recommended this. If he put those two things there, it's going to kill this patient. And she went to the doctor and she says, you can't do that. And he got mad. But she showed him the side effects of combining these two things is death. You know, I want somebody that knows what they're doing if I'm going to the doctor, to the hospital. I don't want some amateur messing with me. And so when he says studied, to know the Word of God, he's saying to us that we really need to dig in and get to know the Word of God. And you notice he says, rightly dividing the Word of God. What's the converse to that? Wrongly dividing the Word of God. One of the advantages of studying the Word of God is to rightly divide the Word of God. You know, if you wrongly divide the Word of God, that's where all these heresies come up, these cults. Somebody's got a new idea that it just hit me. I hadn't thought about it in a good while, but there's a guy, I've got many of his sermons on my phone, and he says, because he's sort of a prominent fella, said, every so often he gets a tape or a CD from somebody who says, brother, I've got a new revelation straight from Jesus. I want you to listen to it, and I want you to share this revelation with all of your fellow ministers. I said, this is a brand new revelation, and I don't think you or your fellow ministers have heard it. And so this pastor says he starts listening and he'll send him back a note and says, listen, you're right. It's a new revelation. I've never heard it. My fellow pastors have never heard it, and I don't think Jesus has heard it either. You know, you can wrongly divide the Word of God. And sometimes you get folks that are just way out there with weird ideas because they have not studied. They take one verse, they take it out of context. They take another verse or put two verses together that don't even talk about the same thing, wrongly dividing. But he said, if when you study, you begin to understand the Word of God. And the greatest ministers that I've known over the years are those whose minds have been spent years and years and years of study. You don't get it all at once. You've heard me say this. I'm amazed at what I've learned since I knew it all. Keep studying. He says, rightly dividing the Word of God. And he says, notice what else he says. You will not be ashamed. You'll not be ashamed. God will look down and say, here's a child of mine that understands what I'm saying. I'm proud of him. It amazes me the grace of our Heavenly Father. When I read sometimes in the paper, the Right Reverend High Exalted Bishop so-and-so says this, and I'm thinking, what a stupid statement. Why didn't God just go zap and get rid of that? But he doesn't. He allows us to make our mistakes. But I'm sure sometimes God just hangs his head in shame and says, I can't believe somebody that claims to be one of my children will make that statement or make that interpretation of a scripture. He said, we'll be approved of God when we study and learn the Word of God. We'll be approved of God. We won't be ashamed. We'll be pleased. Now, there's a number of other things I want to talk about just for a few moments each that comes from rightly dividing the Word of God. And we'll look at those. First, turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Every person in this room that's a Christian, I think, would say, I'd like to have more faith. The Bible says you get it when you study the Word of God. If somebody came down at the end of the service and said, Brother Ed, will you lay hands on me that I'll have more faith? I say, well, you want a pint? You want a quart? You want a gallon? You want me to fill the tank? But the point is, you'd be depending upon me to control your faith level. So when it got gone, you got to find me and let me do it again and keep doing it again. And so what if I die? What if I'm out of town? What if I'm gone somewhere else? Then you're going to struggle without. But if you study the Word of God and you learn who you are in Christ, what you can have in Christ, what you can do in Christ, and you study it and you learn it and you inculcate it into your very being so that when your faith starts to sag, you just pull out your Bible and go back and start looking at some of those verses all over again. And you begin to believe them, say them, apply them, and your faith grows. Faith, he says, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, okay, it's not the kind of hearing that some of us guys do with our wives. Oh, yeah, honey. Yeah, 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 yeah. Would you repeat that back to me? We didn't really hear. And sometimes we do that with the Word of God. We don't really hear. He says we really need to hear and make the Word of God a part of our life. Because when we make the Word of God a part of our life, our faith begins to grow and we're not dependent upon anybody else. It's just great to be able to quote Scripture. Lay in bed at night and this going on and that's going on and Scripture comes to mind and you say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. One of my go-to scriptures is from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. He forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from destruction. He satisfies my mouth with good things. He renews my youth like the eagles. You see, the Word of God, you're laying in bed and you got a problem with any of those areas. And the Holy Spirit brings that scripture to your mind and you begin to quote it. And you say, Lord, I claim it. Not because I said it, but because you said it and you're a God who cannot lie. And I just affirm that what you said is the truth. And I base my life upon what you said. We build our faith with the Word of God. Well, flip over probably about one or maybe two pages in your Bible to Romans 12. Verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul says we need to be transformed, and we're transformed by renewing our mind. We renew our mind as we study the Word of God. We begin to think like God thinks. We begin to think his thoughts. That's where we begin to have that Christ only, Christ always living in me. Because we're being renewed over and over and over again, and we never get too old for it. He's making us new and fresh as we study his word year after year after year. We don't get it all at once. Now, the more we study, the more we study with good teachers and good materials, the faster we can grow. I know some little kids that are better than some 75-year-olds. And then I saw one guy going from, I don't know whether he's even saved, but if he was saved, he's really backslidden, to an on-fire, Bible-believing, Bible-quoting. I just got where I almost didn't like to be around him because he knew so much more Bible than I did. But he had a job where he was driving all day, and that's back, you pop your cassette in your car, and he'd listen all day long as he went from one appointment to another. And in a couple of years' time, he saturated his mind with the Word of God, and it totally transformed his way of thinking. Now, let's go back to the Old Testament for another blessing that we get from studying the Word of God. Psalm 119. Now, wait a minute. Before we go there, let's go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. I just got 100 verses, 100 chapters too fast. Psalm 19, verse 7 and 8. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You catch what he says when you study the Word of God? It will change your innermost being, converting the soul. It will change your mind. It will change your will. It will change your emotions. A lot of louders I know are pretty hot-tempered. And I can still lose it once in a while, but not like it was 50 years ago. The Lord has changed me because I began to learn the Word of God about forgiving 70 times 7, about showing grace to others, about treating others as I would want to be treated. God's Word saying, hey, is this really worth it? If I were perfect, I'd tell you, but the honest truth is I'm not yet. But it's not. It's different. And then he says, you know, the testimony of the Lord is sure it will make wise the simple. The person who doesn't know, the person who's ignorant, simple, he can make you wise. As you are around people that are students of the Word of God, you begin to see how God's wisdom flows through them. I've got a friend, I think she just sold her house and moved to Ashboro to an assisted living place, but because her husband's passed away. But you can't talk to that lady without her quoting at least 50 scriptures. And you know, the Holy Spirit leads her. And over the last 10 years or more, not on a regular basis, but all of a sudden the phone will ring. Pick it up and say, I was thinking about you. The Lord wanted me to call you and wanted me to tell you this. And she'll start quoting scripture. You see, her mind has been saturated with the Word of God. And it's made a difference. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You learn the Word of God and you begin to rejoice in it. It begins to thrill you inside. It begins to make you full of joy. This may be a newsletter or something in the future, but right now, it fits right here. You ever feel weak as a Christian? You know what the secret to that is? Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And then the little song goes on, he gives me living water and I thirst no more. The joy of the Lord. You learn to rejoice. You know, Paul so many times says rejoice. Rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. When you learn to have joy in the Lord, strength pops up. Strength builds. Strength comes. So when you begin to feel weak as a Christian, start singing some joyous songs. Start reading some joyous scriptures. Start rejoicing in the Lord. Imagine yourself coming into his presence with thanksgiving and singing, as Psalm 100 tells us. Joy in the Lord, and that will give you strength. And then he says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The more you study the Word of God, the more your eyes will be open to spiritual realities, but also earthly realities. In Ephesians, it talks about the fact that the devil has blinded the eyes of unbelievers. And I know many of you, you see what people are saying in our world today, where it's so ungodly and unholy, and they're saying this is fine, and that's fine. The devil's blinded their eyes. They don't get it. But because you are a student of God's word, your eyes are open and you see, hey, that is wrong. That is harmful. That is destructive. May I use the word? That is stupid, some of it. The Lord makes a difference. Now let's go to Psalm, I think it's 119. Psalm 119. Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know, whenever I was a teenager, we badgered our youth leaders and any revival preacher that came, do we do this or not do that? Is it sin to do this, sin not to do this? You know? And if they had just told us, study the Word of God, and the more you study the Word of God, the more it will cleanse you of what's wrong. You don't need a youth leader saying that's wrong, or a preacher. The more you study the Word of God, the more the inner Holy Spirit using God's word cleanses you of what's wrong. And you begin to think, that is not right. And he does it for us out of his love. There are a number of TV shows that I enjoyed 30 years ago when they first came on the air that I don't watch anymore. That's just wrong. The Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, has convicted me. You don't need to cloud your mind and your thought life with that sinful activity. It says, and he said, how was that last verse? He says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. He says, Lord, you know, sometimes we get to thinking, I do something, I hurt Robert's feelings, I've sinned against him. Well, I have. Or Leonard, I've sinned against him. Yes, I have. But folks, it's not a sin against Robert or against Leonard that's the problem. It's the fact that I've sinned against my Heavenly Father. That's a far greater deal. I need to make it right with my brothers. But I also need to make it right with my God. He said, I put God's word right here in my heart so that I might not sin against God. Let's go on over Psalm 119 to verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It's amazing how many people tomorrow will consult their horoscope to see which way they should live tomorrow. And they'll consult their horoscope for the year. It's amazing how many Christians would go to somebody that is considered to be a prophet or a prophetess and say, give me a word from God for my life. And they may or may not. what did the Bible say? The Bible says God's word is the flashlight for your feet. God's word illuminates your path. God's word will show you what to do and what not to do. God's word will direct your steps. And of course, that's through the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit teaches you and directs you. As you learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. You remember a couple of newsletters I did maybe 6 weeks ago. I could have gotten myself killed going home from church. But I listened to the Lord and didn't. And if you say, well, that's just good common sense, not to pull around a car in the wrong lane on a double yellow line on a hill. Well, it is good common sense. But what about the newsletter I wrote the next week where Pam's mama heard the Holy Spirit say, go out now. And she caught Kenny falling off an upstairs landing and she caught him before he hit the ground. God's word is a lamp. And the Holy Spirit uses God's word to say yes or to no in everything. I know many of us are in awe of what we would call super Christians. Super Christians. How did they get to be that way? Did God say, any, many, mighty, mo, super Christian? Any, many, mighty, mo, super Christian? The Bible says God's no respecter of persons. The super Christians that I've known in the last 70 years are people that are saturated with the Word of God. I'm thinking about a pastor who's now passed away but lived down in Sanford. I couldn't have kept up with, you know, I tried. But this fella, he'd get up and he'd go to church about 4 o'clock in the morning. And he'd study the Word of God for a couple of hours. Then he'd go home and get dressed, eat breakfast, and then he'd go back and do his daily pastoral duties. But his life was immersed in the Word of God. And he quoted scripture after scripture after scripture as he preached and as he taught. He became a super pastor, super Christian, super preacher. Because he was saturated with the Word of God. And every one of us, any one of us, can do the very same thing. But it's our choice. We are all eligible to be a spiritual class valedictorian. It's our choice. What did Paul write to Timothy? Study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of God. I encourage you. And I know, you know, because of your schedules, every one of us have a different amount of time. But we can put our life in a higher range spiritually. If this becomes our daily food, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Is there anyone here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? If you would you just come on down the aisle? Would you make a commitment? Well, back up. First, would you just thank God for the Word of God that you already know? Some of you can thank God for godly parents that taught you God's word. Godly Sunday school teachers, godly youth leaders, godly pastors. Be thankful. Just say, I appreciate what they've done in my life. Thank the Lord for where you are spiritually. But could you make a commitment, Lord, I want to grow. I want to be more a child of God. I want to be more that person who folks can look and see Christ only, Christ always, living in me. Father, thank you that you didn't leave us to wander around on our own, totally oblivious to a way to live. But over thousands of years, you inspired many, many writers to listen to the Holy Spirit and put down together your precious word. And thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit, who inspired Moses, David, and all of the others, Paul and Peter and John, is the same Holy Spirit who takes that word and makes it live in our minds and in our hearts. Lord, thank you that we don't have to wrongly divide, but we can rightly divide because you, through the Holy Spirit, are our teacher. Help us to grow, Lord. Starting right here in the pulpit. Help us to grow. Now may the Lord keep you, the Lord bless you, the Lord be gracious unto you, make his face to shine upon you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.